Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Can something that is so shockingly stupid or seemingly stupid actually be something that's brilliant in its own way? That's what we'll discuss here at the top of this podcast as Joe Biden has decided to embrace the term Bidenomics. But before we get to that, I want to thank all of you who let me know that I royally screwed up on Tuesday's podcast when talking about the presidents and former presidents that are still alive and those that are descendants of slave owners. I apparently repeatedly said descendants of slaves, and of course we were talking about slave owners. I appreciate that. I had a golf buddy, a friend, a neighbor, some clients, emailers, all of you letting me know that I botched that. And I chalk it up to this. Sometimes this happens. I've probably said the word slave about 7 million times in my life. And I don't know how many times I've said the term slave owner. Not very many. But when we were talking on the podcast on Tuesday about the fact that Donald Trump is the only president or former president alive right now today that is not a descendant of a slave owner, not descendant of a slave. I think most of you got that. But I really appreciate everybody calling me out on that. Do that every time, because we got to get better. There's always room for improvement. We got to get better. So thank you right at the very top. A little fun right there with the tidbit that we worked into yesterday's show. So I'm wondering if, I get worried sometimes about Democrats. They start pushing things that seem so obviously wrong and questionable. You hear it, you're like, what in the world are they doing? And somehow it seems to work for them. I'm trying to find a way that the term Bidenomics is going to work for Joe Biden. He gave a big speech, like a major speech. It's a campaign speech about where they're going. And he even said, I didn't invent this term, but I'll go ahead and embrace it and accept it. Bidenomics and the way we do things in the Biden administration. And all I can think while I'm watching this is, first of all, do they not know that conservatives tagged the term Bidenflation and Bidenomics? We've been doing this for 2.5 years. As soon as inflation went through the roof, the term Bidenflation came out. So just forget that. They're not going to talk about Bidenflation, right? But by saying Bidenomics, don't they just lend themselves to everyone else out there saying Bidenflation? And I don't know what Bidenomics is, but it isn't good. We have fuel costs up 46% under this president. We have energy costs up 36%. Groceries are up 19%. Inflation is up 16% overall, totally. Your life is 16% more expensive to run and operate than it was before Joe Biden. Rent is up 15%, and the stock market is over 3,000 points lower than it was at its all-time high. Is that Bidenomics? I don't understand this. And I've talked to so many people over the last 24 hours since I saw this speech. I'm like, what are they up to? Are they this stupid? There's something I'm not getting here. There's something that they're either pushing or they know, or it's just a sleight of hand. Maybe it's a shell game and they're simply pushing something that doesn't exist. And they think, well, if we market this and promote this and put a term on this, people will think the economy is better than it is. Of course, there's a statistic or two out there that Biden can say over the last 2 years has gotten better. Jobs, unemployment, of course, coming out of COVID, all of these numbers were going to rebound. There's no question about it. But I don't know anyone that thinks the economy is better today than it was under Donald Trump. And I know a lot of Democrats. I have a lot of people in my life that aren't necessarily Trump voters or Republicans or conservative or whatever, but they know that things are tougher today. The inflation is the main thing, but it's how you see it. It's not just what you feel in your monthly budget. It's not just day-to-day. It's you actually see things for the first time in your life. Ask yourself this. How many years did you go without really noticing gas prices? Like, you didn't really notice it. We had a run several years ago where for about 6 months they went through the roof and then came back down. But when was the last time you noticed how expensive it is for something that used to be that you didn't even think about? I paid $11 for a bottle of shampoo at Walmart. Okay, this is just shampoo. Now, I'm not talking about the hair salon place. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Not the frou-frou stuff. This is just shampoo. It's a good size bottle, but it was $11 for a bottle of shampoo. I said, Jessica, this shampoo is $11. Now, she didn't flinch because she buys other shampoo that probably costs way more than that, or it's $11 for a bottle a third the size. I'm not like that. I keep very short hair. I don't need much shampoo, to be honest. I could probably get by with soap in my hair and be just fine. But I bought the shampoo. I'm like, are you kidding me? $11 for this bottle of shampoo? I've got no real room to complain. It's not that I can't pay $11 for a bottle of shampoo, but you just notice it in things that you've never noticed before. And I don't know if the threshold is, you know, I used to joke with Todd Lebo when we worked together at Sports Radio 810. We would always try to eat lunch. We'd go out to lunch and try to eat lunch for $5 or less. And for many, many years, we did that. And we would find places that had, you know, whatever, where you could get a half a sub sandwich and a drink or something for $4.99 or whatever it may be. We always tried to find that deal. And then the threshold didn't really go to $6 or $7. It's just jumped to $10. Good luck. I posted a few months ago on Twitter my lunch at Chipotle. I went and got a burrito bowl and a drink, and it was $14.76. And I don't eat lunch out hardly ever anymore. My routine is completely different than what it used to be. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I just went to Chipotle and got a burrito bowl and a iced tea, and it was $14.76. Okay, he's going to go out there and tout Bidenomics. That's his game plan for re-election. Somebody please help me with what I'm missing, because I'm clearly missing something here. And I'm very worried that they're up to something really slick with this, and I can't see what it is. But I can't see what it is. Bidenomics and Bidenflation are insults. They're insults. It's the equivalent of saying a pitcher is an innings eater. You know, people used, I don't think Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer knew this. People used to say Marty ball. And yes, there were weeks that where the Chiefs won games and Marty ball worked. It was boring. You played defense. You ran between the tackles and the Chiefs would win a game 16-10. And you'd be happy that they won. But it wasn't nearly as interesting watching the rest of the NFL unless Derek Thomas was having a game with 3 sacks or 5 sacks or 7 sacks or whatever it is. It wasn't that much fun to watch. And everybody coined it Marty ball. At the base of that, at the core of that, was an insult. It's Marty ball. He's the only guy doing this now. He's still stuck in the 1950s, and everybody else out there is trying to find a quarterback, and the Chiefs weren't. When they had Rich Gannon, who wound up winning an MVP, they didn't use him, and he wound up benching him because we're just going to give me the guy who can just hand it off to Christian Okoye. Marty ball. Was it a compliment? Marty took it as such. I don't think the fans thought of it that way. There's a lot of terms like that. Baseball's got a ton of them. Small ball. Oh, look at this nice wild card team. Or they're in the hunt in September. They play small ball. Well, yeah, that's not really the way you want to play. Is that what's going on here? Well, we tried to screw this thing up. We've done everything wrong. We have trillions and trillions of dollars worth of overspending. It's Bidenomics. Maybe you gain somehow. A new study is out that says Joe Biden's tenure as president, just through regulations that he's implemented, regulations on businesses. When they regulate businesses, it costs us money. Things go up. It costs more to get something. Just through the regulations that he's pushed through now, okay, it's cost every American $9,600. They say that the difference between, this was a University of Chicago study. Okay, this is no right winger. That the difference between 8 years of what, well, we have 4 years of Trump and almost 4 years now, or 3 years of Biden. Okay, we have this time period, and we look at the rate of regulation versus deregulation. And they say the difference between 8 years of Trump versus 8 years of Biden will be somewhere between $61,000 and $80,000 difference for every American household. Think about that for a second. That's not laws. That's not Congress. That's not private business doing this to you or whatever. That's just regulations that Democrats put in. The difference over 8 years between a Trump presidency and a Biden presidency is likely $80,000 for each one of us, each household. That's just a staggering amount. That's just regulation. That's not even these other wacky things that they do. So he's going to go out and campaign and run for president on something called Bidenomics. Find somebody in your life that thinks the economy, that this is really going well, that you want to brag it up, that, my God, if I'm Joe Biden, I am out there boasting about what I've done with the economy. Find me the one person that believes that. Shoot me an email. Let me know who these people are, because I don't see any of them. And I'm not saying this is the Great Depression. This isn't the worst thing that's ever happened, but the inflation is crushing to most people. It is absolutely crushing that they can't afford the things that they afforded before. And I can't figure out why he is out there running on Bidenomics. Just crazy. Hey, we mentioned Tuesday or Wednesday, about the Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg possible cage match. Well, this is catching on. Not just that, but now Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen has offered to get in the cage with Teamsters President Sean O'Brien. Sean O'Brien has taken to Twitter and called Senator Mullen a moron, a clown, and a fraud. They obviously don't agree politically. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum here. And Senator Mullen's going after the Teamsters and the president. It's a complicated issue. It doesn't really matter for this point. But the fact of the matter is, Mark Wayne Mullen has challenged the Teamsters president, Mr. O'Brien, to a cage match. So this is catching on. I don't know if this is going to come to fruition. He put on Twitter, Mullen did, you have 3 days to accept the offer and we'll fight in Tulsa. He said, set it up at the BOK Center. We'll sell tickets and I'll brawl with you right now in the cage. I mean, why not? So apparently all this stuff is circling around, and the easy way out on social media now when you're sparring with somebody in a debate is to just challenge them to a cage match. Love that. Shout out to a listener. I told him I'd keep the names out, but this is one of the best emails I've gotten in quite some time. Dear Kevin, I wanted to compliment one of your sponsors. My granddaughter is about to enter her first year of high school. She's an energetic athlete, having completed a busy schedule in the spring with track, club soccer, and volleyball. She's been suffering knee pain for the latter part of the spring. My daughter-in-law finally took her to the walk-in clinic at KU Med Center this past Thursday, and the preliminary diagnosis was a possible torn meniscus. They scheduled her for an MRI at the end of July. Okay, they wanted this high school girl to wait 5 weeks to get the MRI. I remembered your sponsor list that mentioned advanced medical imaging. So we called them on Friday. They got her in on Monday. Not only that, but by Monday afternoon, the MRI had been read and reported to us with complete results. This never happens this fast. Thank you, Kevin. In addition, the clinician working with her assured my daughter-in-law that if we did not get the results by the end of the business day, she should check her email and make sure that you got them that night. Fortunately, there is no tear, so rest and rehab should take care of this issue. But with an incoming freshman trying to make a high school volleyball club with a lot of competition, knowing this is critical to her. Love the podcast. Thank you, Advanced Medical Imaging. I love it when we get great emails from you. And I, you know, for a wide variety of reasons, but it's always heartwarming to hear that you had a great experience with one of our sponsors. I'm telling you, we've been through this too. When you need to get imaging done and your hospital chain or whoever you're working with wants you to make a lot of times a 3 week wait, this was going to be five. There's no reason. There's better ways out there. So keep searching for those ways. Well, this is a crazy story about the panhandle in Florida and the rip currents there. Ryan Mallett played the NFL for 5 years. He is a legendary quarterback from the University of Arkansas. Was 35 years old when he was swept away off the beach in Destin, Florida this week, where Panama City, Destin, that area, they're showing aerial shots. I guess until now, I've never really known what a rip current is. We've heard rip tide or a rip current. And so you hear these things, and it's quite frightening. Now, this is not undertow. I always thought of a riptide as, I've been in the water before, and you feel kind of the undercurrent on your feet. I always thought that was the one, that it came to your feet, swept you out, and you know, pulled you out. That, I guess, is an undertow. That's not what this is. A riptide hits the breakers or something and starts spinning. It's not like a tornado, but it's a circular motion, and there's a bunch of circular motions in a row. There are now aerial shots off these beaches in Florida where you can see like 10 of them from the air. You can see them moving. You see the water moving in those directions, but you can't see it when you're in the water. It's stunning to see these aerial photos of what's going on. Why are these beaches not closed? I understand tourism is everything in Florida, and especially this part of Florida, but 11 people have died in these rip currents in the last 2 weeks. Ryan Mallett's death has not been classified as a rip current death, but it's likely that it is and will be ruled as such. My question is, if they've ruled 11 of them have died that way, do we have more deaths in the water that are not classified as anything? And how do we have open beaches where now at least 12 people have died in 2 weeks in very dangerous currents, and there's warnings up? Okay, be on alert. Well, the warnings aren't going to save you. If you warn somebody, says be careful, well, but you can't be careful. It's impossible to be careful. If one of them hits you and starts pulling you out, you know, I'm reading these stories now of what you're supposed to do if this happens to you. Don't swim against it. Swim out. Go farther out in the ocean because it dissipates pretty quickly, I guess. But in these cases, it's so swift, it pulls people under and they try to breathe and they get water in their lungs. And then they're unconscious by the time they're rescued in the water. They're recovering all these bodies. They're not getting swept out to sea. They're not lost. It just happens really fast and you inhale a bunch of water and then you're in real trouble. This is just terrible that this is happening to all these people. Ryan Mallett, 35, played in the NFL. Again, Arkansas quarterback legend. And he had recently started coaching football in high school. Became a head coach. Was dedicating his life to coaching football to high school age boys. Loses his life in a rip current on vacation. There was a group of people out by the second sandbar, I guess. There's two layers of sandbars, so they were out a little ways. But, you know, it gets shallow again. I don't know how many people have gone to this type of spot in the ocean. You could walk out there. They probably walked all the way to the second sandbar. But then you get out there, and it might only be 3 feet deep where you walk through something that was 5 feet deep. But they're out there by that sandbar, and that's what happens. Where that sand collects, there's a sandbar there for a reason. It has to do with the water currents. And he just gets pulled under. They said he went under. And by the time he resurfaced and they got to him, he was unconscious. And by the time they got him to the hospital, he was declared dead. That's just terrible. I just don't know how we're even allowing people to go in the water if 12 people have died in 2 weeks. Now, it's a pretty wide stretch. Okay, it's not like one area. It's not 300 yards wide where 12 people have died. It's a pretty wide stretch of places. But, man, what a terrible, tragic, and sad story that is. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Copiers, printers, voiceover, IP solutions, phone systems, they've got it all. Service is the key. Dump the national brand companies and go with someone local. In Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, it's 360documentsolutions.com. Call Mark at 913-745-5344 for the personal service you and your organization deserve. Bstock.net, online, electronics, anywhere. The red tag deal of the week this week at the KK list is an Apple Watch. Go bid on it. It started at $999. I can't give you a current update on it, but the bidding goes through Friday. If you want to get a new Apple Watch for pennies on the dollar, you can get it at auction at thekklist.com. You can shop all the electronics at bstock.net 24/7, or walk in Olathe and save even more. Right now, they have a Samsung QLED 70-inch. The QLED is just brighter. It's just a better picture. 70-inch for $599, and they'll deliver it to most parts of Kansas City. That's $350 less than Best Buy. Bstock.net is located at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And the holiday weekend extravaganza is on at Amini's. Outdoor furniture, game room, pool tables, bar stools, it's all at Amini's. Up to 70% off for their annual Independence Day sale. That's right. Red, white, and boom with Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. The Royals lose 14-1. I don't even know why I'm mentioning these on the podcast, other than it's so shocking to lose 14-1. It has to go mentioned. You just have to do it. So I saw this little nugget. It's so bad for the Royals. Forget their record. Forget losing 14-1. Forget all that stuff. It's so bad. Get this. You can go to a game, pick the right game. You sit in the outfield plaza or whatever they're called now. Four tickets, parking, four hot dogs, and four beverages, not beer. That's soda or a bottle of water. Four tickets, a parking pass, four hot dogs, and four beverages for $40. So I don't know how you factor in parking, but if you split this by four people, you get a ticket, a hot dog, and a beverage, and you get to park for $10 a person. Wow, is this organization in trouble? I mean, the Royals are in deep trouble. They are 28th in attendance. Only the Marlins and A's are worse. There was a very small crowd on Wednesday night in Oakland when history was made. The Yankees were playing at the A's. Yankees pitcher Domingo Herman took the hill. 27 batters later, he'd thrown a perfect game. It's the first perfect game in baseball since 2012 when King Felix Hernandez did it. Herman needed 99 pitches. He only got to a three-ball count twice. He is the 24th pitcher in the history of baseball to throw a perfect game. It was against the A's. Does he get an asterisk? 11-0, the final. He becomes the fourth Yankee to throw a perfect game. No other organization has done that. The other three Yankee pitchers, Don Larson, David Wells, and David Cohn. Domingo Herman with the all-time rarity. Not just the no-no, the perfect game. Simply spectacular. Congratulations to him. All right, we got a great interview today and a very important topic for me, and I hope it's important for you. It's Camo to College. Our friend Josh Arnold is here to talk about the great work they're doing with veterans who serve our country and then sometimes in their 20s are out of the military and need to learn a trade or finish their college degree or whatever, and Camo to College helps facilitate that. I'm asking you folks if there's any way you can help. So Josh is going to join us in just a moment. We got a golf tournament coming up. We would love for you to join in and play golf with us or make a donation to help this outstanding cause. Independence Day is right around the corner. It's a great time to think about our service heroes, and we'll talk with Josh about that. It's all brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. Rear smile is just the start. Tickets for less this concert season. No fees ever. Use the promo code KKHI at ticketsforless.com. The Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com or available at Shields, the Bullet Hole, or Teague Tractor. And, of course, my buddy Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's remodeler, online, crosskitchenskc.com. All right, Josh Arnold is here. He's just terrific. He served honorably as a Marine. After he got out of the Marines, he went to the University of Kansas, got a business management degree. We'll go over the entire resume and all the great things he's doing with his wonderful program called CamoToCollege.org. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, Josh Arnold joins us now, and a very important thing that I would hope that all of our listeners can kind of wrap their arms around and get involved with if you can. We've talked about it in the past. It's CamoToCollege.org. This is a very important program for military veterans. Josh is a Marine vet. After serving in the Marines with tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, he got his business management degree at KU, but less than a third of all veterans will go to trade school or college after they serve, and Camo to College finds a way to connect folks that are getting out of the service, reacclimating them to private society with maybe a trade skill learned or a college education or something like that. And we got a charity golf tournament coming up in July, and I hope that those of you that play golf will get involved with this, and maybe we've got some veterans in the audience as well that would like to get involved and either make a donation or come out that day and volunteer or play in the golf tournament. We are pleased to have Josh Arnold on. He's the president and CEO of CamoToCollege.org. Mr. Arnold, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I love what you do at Camo to College. And before we do anything else,
Let's just take a moment and briefly retell your story. I know I gave a little synopsis there, but you served and then went, okay, what's next? And it's obviously worked out great for you, but you know a lot of people that didn't really know where to go. Maybe share your experience of what you did after serving in the Marines and some of the folks that you knew in the Marines that didn't really know where to turn next.
Yeah, and so I went to KU, and I had had some previous experience with college before I went into the Marine Corps. So my story is a little different than a lot of people who get out at 18 and then go straight into the service. So I kind of had that experience, and it was a little bit easier for me than the stories that I heard from everybody else as I, you know, was talking to my military friends that, you know, didn't know exactly what to do when they got out. They had been told where to be, what to bring, what to do for so long. And there's so many different avenues that you can take afterwards. So what we kind of wanted to do is, you know, with my work, I'm an insurance broker. I almost wanted to be a transition broker and just be that resource that would go out, do the research, help find, you know, have a consultation with them, help find out exactly what they want to do with life, and then sit down and say, okay, here are your options. Here's where we need to go, and just kind of be there every step of the way as they find their new purpose and find their new team.
I think the most stunning thing that I've read at your site, and I hope if one thing is taken away from our listeners, a stat that I give here, and it's on your website, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Our government spends $1 million annually per troop to train that person to be combat ready. Then when they're out of the service, they spend $500 to train them to reenter private society. That is remarkable.
Correct. And it varies by, you know, by branch that you're in. Some branches are better than others. I've noticed my beloved Marine Corps is one of the worst at helping people transition. But that leaves us to help a lot of Marines. We started our mission this year, which again, we've had fundraising tournaments. These golf tournaments are our biggest fundraisers. So that's why we want to get as much participation and fundraising as we can, so we can continue our mission. But we've been able to actually start the meat and potatoes of our mission this year. And it's been amazing. We've consulted with different service members as they are trying to figure out what to do next. And we have started our Camo to Career program, where we are looking for companies who are ready to hire vets, and we partner with the local schools in the area, and we're kind of a matchmaker. Avoid all those third-party sites where algorithms may kick out qualified vets and bring their resumes direct to the hiring managers. So we've had great success so far being able to put our mission plan to practice.
Well, we're excited to have you on the podcast this week leading up to the 4th of July and Independence Day. And I want to reiterate to everyone listening that whether you're a golfer or not, you can help. You can go to camotocollege.org. That's C-A-M-O, camotocollege.org. You can donate. There are ways that you can just tell a friend about the golf tournament or what Camo to College does, and ways to connect or volunteer if you'd like to come out and help the day of the golf tournament. It's July 27th at Sycamore Ridge in Spring Hill. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start, four-person scramble. There are sponsorships available for your company. If you're a company owner and you'd like to get a whole sponsorship or put a banner up out there, you make a donation, we'll make sure you get a lot of publicity. You don't even have to come that day if you want to get your company involved and just support it through your company with some signage or something like that. It's easy to do on the website. Go to camotocollege.org and click on events, and you'll see that they have golf tournaments in Denver and Dallas as well, as Josh has branched this out to other markets. But the one in Kansas City is coming up on July 27th, and we're only about half full. We really need golfers, too. So anybody who wants to golf, donate, sponsor, get your company involved, pretty much anyone. If this sounds good to you, we would love for people to be involved and find a way to help Camo to College and help so many of these veterans after they're in the service to find a really successful path for their career going forward. Tell me a little bit about the golf tournament and who's going to be involved, Josh, because I know you're looking forward to this, and we still need a bunch more teams.
Yeah, so it is, like you said, Sycamore Ridge Golf Course. We're going to have breakfast. We're going to have lunch, range balls, bags, drink tickets. We have a couple of our partners who provide on-course activities. We'll have a hole-in-one contest for a big prize, raffle, silent auction. We've done these in Dallas and Denver. That's where two of our board members are, so they've helped coordinate those. This one's special to me because it's the first one that I get to kind of bring to my hometown in Kansas City and really see what the community can do. So I'm excited. I'm really pumped about this one, and I think it'll be amazing.
People don't have to be good golfers. In fact, a friend of mine, we won't mention her, a coworker of yours, isn't really a golfer at all, but she's going to be playing, and so that's okay. People can just come out and have a great time, and we would love it if the listeners kind of said, okay, this is the thing. Look, this is the one I want everybody to come to. I don't really have a lot of affiliations with golf tournaments and charities, but these are folks that I know. They're great people doing great work with veterans. It just fits into who and what we are. I think to my audience as conservatives, it's 4th of July week coming up. This is a July tournament. I would just be so honored if people got involved in this, even if it's just a donation and you can't make it that day. Anybody can do that at camotocollege.org. Help me out a little bit, Josh, here. How are you doing with connecting with so many of the vets? You talked about the career path program and what you're trying to do. You're not a big budget operation. You're not a national organization. This is a lot in our area. You have board members in these other cities you mentioned, but you're kind of a startup the way you're doing this. How would you describe how Camo to College is growing and coming along?
This year has been amazing. We have completely solidified our foundation in the Kansas City area. And that was the one, just with me being here and in this area, I wanted to make sure that this was the first one that we stood up to be fully operational. So now it's bringing on more companies. So like I mentioned earlier, if you're a company that wants to hire vets and wants to get on this program with us, feel free to shoot us an email at info@camotocollege.org. And then our next step after we finish organizing the Kansas City Golf Tournament is going to be standing up Texas and Denver. We've already had requests to stand up Minnesota and a couple others that, you know, we don't want to run before we walk. We want to make sure everything's perfect and sustainable for long-term success for these vets. So we don't want to be a flash in the pan, you know, nonprofit. But we are doing amazing things. And I do want to bring up, we've received the largest single donation that we have ever received from locked in companies this year. Just wanted to give a shout out to that. They did a new promotion through their initiative Locked In Cares, where they donate $25,000 to a charity at each individual location. And they have locations all across the United States. But we were honored to be the recipient for Locked In Affinity. And I was able to share that with my board in person at the Denver tournament. And it was very cool and very humbled to be the recipient for that award.
That is awesome. And I know we got a lot of business owners listening to this podcast and a few whales in the audience that have pretty deep pockets. And we would love it if they could make a donation by going to camotocollege.org. Or I'll say this for all of our listeners. Send me an email. If you want to get involved, you don't really know how to sign up for a golf tournament, don't know what to do, if you think you have a unique situation, shoot me personally an email and I will take care of this. I'll make sure that it happens, it gets to the right folks, and we'll make sure that it works out for you or your company or your group or however you want to get involved with camotocollege.org. I'll personally facilitate that if you want to send me an email. We'll take anybody that wants to help in any way with camotocollege.org. Josh, how do you find the folks that you help? What is the process? And this is kind of considered a local charity at this point, right?
It is. And that is the best question. The funds that we bring in from this tournament and any funds that we utilize, we are 100% volunteer. We don't have any paid staff. So everything that we bring in goes back out. And the majority of what we will be bringing in and using from the golf tournaments this year will be spent marketing, and not marketing to bring in donations, but marketing out to veterans, because, you know, we know this is a great product. We know that we have a great mission, but it doesn't mean anything if we can't get that out to, you know, veterans who are getting out, who are struggling. Even, you know, we look at whether you're getting out tomorrow or whether you've been out for 5-10 years, we're still here. The requirements and what you want to do haven't changed. So our model fits anybody who has served and is, you know, wondering, what do I do next? Who do I contact? So that's what we'll be doing after this 27th golf tournament, is pushing out marketing. So you'll probably hear us on these channels and other channels, reaching out to vets to try to help as many people as we can.
That's so good. It's such great work that you do. There's just no question about that. And I want to reiterate to everyone that it's not like we're telling people in service that they have to go to college or they have to learn a trade. But the reason this program is so important is statistically the difference it makes, especially with things like mental health and suicide and things like that, after serving. Those that find a trade in a career path or go to college after serving and find some sort of career path, just statistically, not this, there's no bias in this, just statistically have a better path and better life going forward. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. It is. A recent study on the statistics, and I think this one came out in 2021, was that people who didn't have a trade certificate or a college degree were in the 90th percentile of those that commit suicide. So in other words, if you had a trade certificate from the suicides that took place during that year, trade certificate, college degree, you were only 10% likely, I guess, to commit suicide, or you made up 10% of the numbers, I guess.
Mm. It's a very, very important program and very, very important thing that you're doing. What about with our politicians and what we do with our military budget? Because it seems like it's never really a problem to raise what is being spent with military, or mm-hmm. we're doing this thing now where we supposedly don't have our people in harm's way. We're buying all this stuff for Ukraine, doing whatever. It's not hard for the American public to say, okay, we don't mind putting tax dollars in this. How are we doing on, in DC, trying to reach politicians that understand $500 to train service members to re-enter them into private society is not enough? Do people in DC know this is a problem?
I'm sure they do. Our board member too, we've been doing some local outreach to state. He's in Denver, Colorado, and he was speaking at a function, for the, I believe the Mule Deer Association, and he had a lot of politicians' ears. Even those politicians, though, they're shocked when we bring up our statistics, when we talk to them about it. So, what good will it do? I don't know. I'm biased one way or the other. But, what we've been doing is trying to keep pressuring ears, however much we can, to try to get, whether it's more of a budget or just more of an awareness on this aspect being an issue. Because that was the reason we started this, kind of to even go back, is we were just tired of losing people. And I've lost two more since we last talked that I know about to suicide. We were tired of these being the best men that we've ever met, best men that we've ever served with, and hearing that they, had struggles after they left and committed suicide. And it's just not a well-known or celebrated statistic, probably because it's not a very pretty one, but, right. That's what we've been noticing, is that people, it's a shock every time we say it, that, 22 veterans die a day. Mm. We brought out to the Colorado tournament, Romans Warrior Foundation. They have a traveling wall for everyone who has died in the global war on terrorism. And it was eye opening, because I came to the start, when the World Trade Center was hit, the start of that 21-year war, we lose more to suicide than we have lost in combat in that entire 21-year war. And I got to see all those names on the wall and see how long it went, and say, we lose that every year to suicide. And that was really eye-opening when we went out there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just such an uncomfortable topic for people to hear and digest, and they just don't want to think that it's true or can't. Suicide is just so, for most people, you can't explain it, and it just leaves holes in people's lives after they lose someone, mm-hmm. because they may have seen signs, they may not have. It's such a complicated issue and uncomfortable for so many people to talk about. But I'll say this: I'm terrible because I don't remember his name. I just read this story this week, Josh. There's a former Marine in Montana who just announced that he's running for United States Senate in Montana against the Democrat there, who's the only Democrat in Montana, the state mm-hmm. state office, okay? So now he's the first Republican to announce he's running. But he won multiple medals in the Marines.
served with honor, has started three companies in Montana. None of them, and he's very proud of this, none of them have anything to do with tourism or bringing people into the state that are transient, come and go. One of them is a aerospace firefighting company, an aviation company. They're building airplanes to fight fires and things like that. This guy just looks like he is the best. And he's made a pitch to everyone in Montana. We need to send more military veterans to Washington, D.C. to be politicians to get this stuff right. And I don't think he's specifically talking about camo to college or even the plight of veterans. But what he's saying is people that understand leadership and serving first and not going to D.C. to get rich because you're a politician. Man, I don't think we could have enough veterans in politics. If we could get more in the House and Senate, I'd be the happiest guy ever.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it starts with, you know, getting veterans educated. I haven't heard of this individual yet. I'm going to look him up after this, but sounds incredibly impressive. You know, for a guy to do all that and then have his aspirations to continue to serve. I love that. I would love to get more veterans and who have firsthand knowledge of, you know, what everybody goes through. Because when I explain this mission to a veteran, I barely have to say anything. They get it. They're like, absolutely. I felt that. To be able to get that sort of perspective in Washington would be a huge win.
Awesome. Josh, it's great stuff. July 27th, Sycamore Ridge, 10 a.m. That's a Thursday. Four-person scramble. You don't have to be a golfer to come out and have fun. And my goodness, you don't have to be a golfer to make a donation to camotocollege.org. That's C-A-M-O, camotocollege.org. You can donate. You can help spread the word. You can connect with others. You can get your company involved and become a whole sponsor or something for as little as $250. We'd love to have donations from companies and individuals. So we'll encourage people to jump on the website and let's go sell the rest of these teams over the next few weeks. And let's have a great time and raise you a bunch of money. How's that sound, Josh?
Sounds amazing. And if you're not a great golfer, we sell mulligans too. So there's your do-over.
Oh, okay. This is good. Maybe people who have friends in the tournament could buy mulligans for them if they're too cheap to do it or something like that. So we'll figure all that out. Unlimited mulligans. Just come buy them, baby. We'll have all kinds of low numbers. Let's just do it. It'll be fun, Josh.
That's right.
Hey, it's always great catching up with you, and I have so much respect for you and the work you guys are doing, and we'll keep pushing this over the next few weeks and see if we can't get the tournament full. How's that sound?
That sounds great. You've been great to our organization, Kevin. We can't thank you enough.
I've done nothing. Let's get this tournament full, then we'll talk about what we've done. CamoToCollege.org. He is Josh Arnold right here on KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.